This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, I'm Greg Hill, and this is The Greg Hill Show, where Boston sports and real talk collide.
I'm Courtney Cox, along with Wiggy. We break down everything from the Patriots and Celtics to Sox, Bruins, and the stories that have the whole city talking.
Yo, you'll get bold takes, big guests, breaking news, and trust me, we ain't afraid to stir it up.
We've got every Boston sports angle covered.
Follow and listen to The Greg Hill Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. New episodes drop every week. Weekday.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
Whoa, ladies and gentlemen.
We're back.
Oh. Playtesty's back. We're back. It's been 3 weeks. This is episode 276. It's the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe to WEEI there. And then you can find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. So World Series is on. We're almost at the point where I guess decisions have to be made, and that all starts 5 days after the end of the World Series. Enjoy the baseball while it's here. Like, it's always such a weird back and forth ping-ponging in my head, where it's like I want the Red Sox offseason stuff to start, but I want to appreciate the World Series and baseball while I still have it. And I sat up last night and watched the whole 18-inning game. We're recording this on what? It's Tuesday. So I'm really taking it to heart. I'm watching every second of the World Series. I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can. But at the same time, like, I need the offseason stuff to start. It was a good time for us to take a break. We needed it. I mean, we watch every single game, and we talk about every single game, and we podcast 3 times a week, and we do radio once a week. So we definitely needed the time off. But at the same time, it's like, even though the time off is good and it helps us, you know, recover a little bit from a long season, at the same time, I find myself just wanting to sit here and talk about the Sox with you guys. So yeah, I'm glad we're back. I'm glad we're back and doing that. So welcome back.
I'm with you, Gordon. I felt myself getting a little bit irritable on social media because I have all these things I want to talk about, and you can only say so much in a tweet. And so I'll tweet something out and then someone will have a response, and I'll want to, you know, just go in depth on how I feel, but then I get all like, no, I don't want to type it all out. I want to save it for the pod. So yes, I'm very glad we're back to recording. There's a ton to talk about, like, yeah, more than most off seasons. And by the way, love baseball. I hope the Blue Jays win the World Series. I would fast forward to the end of this thing right now and start the off season if I could. I am jonesing for some, just the rumors. Just give me some rumors, some legitimate rumors, not the John Heyman. Here's 15 teams.
What does that mean, jonesing?
Jonesing like means feening. Like you're feening. Yeah, like you really need some, you really need some rumors.
Like I can tell by the context, but why?
You know, good question. I don't know. I don't know the origin.
We'll figure it out.
Anyways.
I'm trying to think. Jonesing. Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I want some real rumors, and I'm not talking about the John Heyman, like, oh, here's 18 teams who might want Kyle Tucker. Like, thanks, John. Really appreciate it. Great work. I need stuff like Red Sox are in discussions with XYZ, or they're kicking the tires. There's a good phrase for you.
Checked in.
They checked in. Hey, how are you? Hey, Kyle Schwarber. How are you? I need it. So glad to be back, boys.
Yeah, it feels like historically things line up pretty well for us when, because we take this break. Normally it's a little bit earlier that we're fortunate the Sox made the postseason, but it lines up where right when we kind of plan on coming back, there's like a nice little, I wouldn't even call it rumors, but like these nice developments that kind of all come up together.
Oh God, I just found the origin of Jones.
Oh God.
It's okay. Not good.
It
has to do with Jones is a 1960s drug slang for a very, very hard drug, let's say. A female hero. A word for female hero. So,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So maybe
Sammy's just trying to crank to that age. Needs the off-season.
What a start, boys. We're talking narcotics less than 5 minutes into the first episode. We're so back.
This is what not having baseball does to us, man. We're jonesing.
Jonesing. But it works out well where I feel like when we come back, there's like enough stuff to talk about. It kind of lays the groundwork for the offseason. But yeah, I mean, it got to the point where Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday felt weird, like not recording. So it was much needed because, Gordo, as you alluded to, like we do this 3 to 4 days a week and then watch every game. The break's always necessary, but it's nice to be kind of back at the saddle talking Sox. And like Sammy said, like I'm one of those guys that like I just eat up every crumb of rumors. I don't even care. Like Sammy said, though, real rumors. Like, I won't say any names, John Heyman and Jim Bowden. Everyone else, those rumors I thoroughly enjoy. Though the other ones, again, not to name names, Jim Bowden, John Heyman, those ones I kind of disregard. But the Ken Rosenthal's, the Passins, Jesse Rogers, Buster. I'll throw Buster in there. Rob, yeah. Obviously. Cotillo, all those guys. I look forward to
the local
to.
Beat, yeah.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Yeah. And I guess before we dive in, also welcome a new member of the team, Sean Palmer. You guys know him on Twitter, Palmer Designs on Twitter. He does awesome work, and he's going to be collabing with us, doing some stuff with us moving forward. And we got some really good stuff. What, Pat? Why are you giving me that look?
Why did you say collab?
Yeah.
Is that nothing?
Collab?
Is it?
Do you say collaborating? It's collaborating. It's collabing.
Collab, yeah.
A collab. You call it a collab. No?
Are you jonesing, my friend, dude? You are. No, he's not jonesing anymore. He's filled the jonesing.
Okay, so we're collabing. Shout out Sean Palmer for the collab. He's great at what he does. You guys have all seen his work on Twitter and Instagram. He's super, super talented, and we're excited to have him as part of the team. And we're excited for you guys to see some of the stuff that we're going to do together. So welcome, Sean Palmer. We've been friends of his for a good while, but it's awesome that we're going to get to kind of do stuff together with him. I love it. Great dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Sean is, his designs are awesome on Twitter. They get so much traction. He's great at what he does. It's another cog in the machine, and it's a great cog to have. It's a cog that fills a gaping hole.
That's a classic line of the offseason.
First one back. I had to do it.
We say fill hole a million times in the offseason. It always gets called out 100% of the time. We never continue. We never just let it slide.
Phil Koch
sprinted out of the bullpen. You guys would be shocked. I have like 5 Phil Koch signed baseballs. Getting booed.
You have five Phil Koch signed baseballs?
I do, dude. I do.
For what? For dude, what?
Dude, I don't know. I used to go to the ballpark and I'd have baseballs and he would just be signing. I didn't know what I was doing, so I just hand him a ball and he'd sign it.
Okay, do you think you're Phil Koch's biggest fan that's not related to him or a friend of his?
No, because I wouldn't call myself a big Phil Koch fan. I think I just...
No, you I are. Would, you have five signed baseballs. You're a Phil Koch fan.
Yeah, but that was just that was just me being a dumb kid.
Well, I think as a dumb kid, you were a Coke addict.
Hey, we love the drugs on this podcast. I am watching Breaking Bad. I'm in the final season of it. Don't spoil it.
I mean, it makes sense. We have a producer that does anabolic steroids. He's jacked.
It's true. He is jacked. Jacked off the steroids. So where do we want to? Yeah, let's talk some ball. I guess we can start it. It's been a while. I mean, when we last talked rumors, I think our overall consensus was that we felt good about Alex Bregman coming back. And since then, I know we had a little bit of debate about whether or not we thought he was going to opt out or not. I did not think it was going to be as easy of a decision for him to opt out as it seemingly was. But I mean, the news came out pretty early and he is opting out. And I still feel really good about the Red Sox working something out with him to come back. Does anyone feel differently than that?
No, if you're like a Mariners fan or a Tigers fan or a Cubs fan, stop making mock lineups with Alex Bregman on your team. I'm so confident that he's coming back to the Red Sox. I've been saying this since last season, which was like 3 weeks ago. He's coming back. I think he wants to be in Boston. He fits like a glove beautifully. It just makes sense for everyone. It makes sense for the young guys. It makes sense for Bregman. They're going to pay him. I don't think it's a question of will the Red Sox pony up the money. It'll be how much and how long the contract will be for. So I have no concerns about Bregman leaving. And here you go. I'm knocking on wood. There you go.
I mean, I'm in the same boat. If you're Detroit, I don't know how you can realistically look at Alex Bregman and feel confident that you have a shot at landing him, especially when they were really the only team last year that did offer him the years and the money that he seemed to be looking for. I think it was somewhere in the ballpark of like 6 for $156 or something around there. Year older, no QO. The no QO, I think, will affect his price a little bit. He'll get a little bit more than maybe he should. I doubt he sniffs $40 million a year in any capacity that's not in a 2 to 3 year deal, which at this point, I don't think he settles on. I think his main motivation last year for the opt-outs was just to get rid of the QO attached to him to maximize those offers. So if you're Detroit, I just don't think that you can feel confident in your shots. Seattle, I think your biggest fish to fry is Naylor or Suarez. Saw today that the Royals might be in. Yeah, right, dude.
No way. But they have a great third baseman too, Garcia. He's awesome. Yeah, they don't need Reggie.
So I'm in the same boat. I think he's coming back. Years and dollars, we'll kind of wait and see. But I would put it at like well over 80% chance that he's back in Boston. Knock on wood.
I want to pull up the Jim Bowden projected contracts, and you guys can tell me. I actually forget what Bregman's was. Okay, here we go.
Lower.
Jim Bowden projected him. And by the way, I know Jim Bowden, not necessarily the best with like reports and rumors, but he actually is pretty good with the contract projections. He projected Bregman to get 6 years, 182. I do not think he gets that much. Do either of you guys think he gets that much? Do you think he gets 6 years?
If he gets 6 years, it's going to be a weirdly structured contract. And here's the thing. This is kind of a take I've had on multiple fronts about different guys. If you really want a player and you're hesitant, and you're excited about their prime that they're in right now, like a guy like Bregman, maybe not in his prime, but he's still very good. And you walk away because you're afraid of how he's going to perform in 2031 or something like that, or how that money's going to look, then you're not committed to winning. So I think the Red Sox will give him 5 years. That said, if they give him 6 years at the same AAV or something close to whatever they would have given him at 5 years, I don't think it's a big deal. I think this is a guy you absolutely have to lock down. And if I were guessing, I'll go 5 years, 135, 130, like 26, 27 million a year.
Yeah. Gordon, what was the number again? Six for what?
Six for 182.
Is that what it was?
6-1-8.
Yeah, I don't see him getting that. And that's not a knock on Bregman. I think that's just reflective of someone who's coming off an injury plagues. Not even injury plagues. A season where he was injured. Had good numbers. 31 going on 32. Last year, I mean, the QO obviously had an effect on his market. But at that point, Detroit gave him the highest offer, and it was 6 years then. I understand that he has no QO this year. I understand he had a good year, but he's a year older and he's coming off an injury. I don't see someone offering him more money than that, even with factoring in the draft pick loss that they would have had to do last year. If I had to guess, I don't think he gets six. I think he does get five. I could see, you know, five for 145 to 155, that range, right around that 28 to 30 AAB.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two things really quick. I could also see him taking a lower AAV and getting like 7 years and just being like, hey, I want to be here long, long term. I want to play late into my career and I'll do it for below market value if that's what it takes. I could see that happening. That's not my guess. I just don't think that's out of the question. But here's a question, speaking of which, that's called a segue.
That would be kind of like what Xander did with San Diego. Like, they gave him a ton of money, and to lower the AAV, they had him take a couple of extra years on it, and it's like it's a deal that he wants to be in one spot the rest of his career. He assumes his next deal is going to be that, so it's like, yeah, he doesn't care if it's $23 million a year or if it's $30 million a year. If it's the same total dollars, like, you assume that this next contract is your last. So it really is just about, to me, it's about the way the team wants it structured.
Yeah, it's not going to be what, 280, 281 or whatever Xander got, but the same concept. If that does happen, which again, I don't think that's going to happen, but it's one of the options. Anyway, my question, Bregman, no secret, he did not finish the season strong. The playoff stint the Red Sox had, he wasn't terrible, but he was not remarkable. Did that change either of your feelings about Bregman coming back? Like, your interest as a fan of the Red Sox in this scenario?
I think the way I would put it is I'm a little bit more open to them being creative if they wanted to, because they're not going to sign Bregman and then sign Pete Alonso to play first base and then sign Kyle Schwarber to be the DH. Like, they're not going to do anything like that. So maybe I'm a little bit more open to them being creative if it's going to like bring Kyle Tucker in. We can talk about those possibilities, how the structure would work if they were going to go that route. But no, I still think this offseason starts with bringing Alex Bregman back, and everything should be around that. Like, he's not the power bat that you're adding. He's not the way you're improving your offense, but he is where this all starts. If he goes elsewhere, you're starting from a deep hole. You're starting the game down 16 to nothing, and you got to come all the way back.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind's at. The other thing, too, that should be worth noting is the postseason lineup they were trotting out had no thump, no real danger outside of Bregman, so they were able to attack him. Next year, you know, Roman's back. Just like when you signed Bregman from the get-go, you had Raffy there. Raffy was kind of that buffer between, you know, Bregman and everybody else. Roman will be that next year. Coming off the injury, I mean, I think he had a fine postseason. He kind of limped to the finish line. Figuratively and literally, but not to the point where I'm like totally discouraged enough where I wouldn't give him, you know, that five for 150. It all depends on the other moves they do. If he's your third best player going into next year, like if you have, we'll say hypothetically, Roman, Bregman, Schwarber, I mean, come on. If like Bregman, that's the capacity you want Bregman in, and that's kind of at this stage of his career. Yeah, he's like the leader in the clubhouse. He's your second or third best player. In the postseason, he was kind of just thrown in to be your best player. It didn't work out. But I'm not discouraged at the point where I'm like weary of bringing him back.
I'm trying to find the quote that Alex Speer had on Sox prospects. Because to me, and I just found it, but okay, here's the quote. This is Alex Speer. He said, I would be really surprised if the Red Sox had a run it back offseason. I would be pretty surprised if they had a looking to just move food around the plate offseason. I think that there are going to be some big swings in this again in this offseason, potentially measured by the end of the collective bargaining agreement. So to me, I don't see this as Like, if the Red Sox had to choose, like, we can make one big signing and it's Bregman or someone else, I think you could make an argument that, hey, like, we need to prioritize home run power here. Like, there could be an argument there. But to me, like, there's no excuse to settle on one quote-unquote offensive addition. And I quote-unquote it because Bregman's not an addition. That's just staying the same. If you could make the argument if it was just one guy that you could work with to add in here, but to me it's not that. So it starts with Alex Bregman. I'll just keep coming back to that. Like, you improve the team by having the dynamic that Bregman brought, and then adding the power that you lost, because let's face it, you entered the season with Rafael Devers and Tristan Casas as your 30 home run guys, the guys you expect to get there. Devers is gone; he's not coming back, and Tristan Casas had the injury. And we don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back. You don't know where 30 home runs is coming from. So, yes, you need what Alex Bregman brought to this team. Puts the bat on the ball, leadership. He was an uber productive player before the injury, and hopefully coming back next year healthy, he'll be that again. But you need home runs, and you need them in addition to what Alex Bregman brought. And to me, I mean, I love the idea of like reworking things to bring the best free agent in Kyle Tucker in here. But I really do think the simplest answer is probably the best answer here, which is finding a way to bring in one of Kyle Schwarber or Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Also, I'm not as like enamored with home runs as you are, Gordo. I think they're very important, that the Red Sox certainly need some more, but I'm more of like, you just need extra base hits. Like, I look at the Blue Jays, those guys are constantly just hammering the ball, doubles, home runs, tough at bats. You're also losing Jaren Duran, who had 21 home runs and then a billion doubles and triples as well. So probably he's
maybe
gone.
Maybe losing him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a chance he comes back, but like in my head, he's... Do any of us think Jaren Duran's coming back? I don't.
No.
They're definitely trading an outfielder, and I have
already rumors. If the Red Sox get Kyle Tucker, I think that's a scenario where I could see Duran not being moved because the other teams want like Willier or something. But even that,
if they get Kyle Tucker, they got to trade two.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like you trade your two. Well, no, but then you can't.
And you trade Sadon.
Yeah. No, never mind. Wait, how could I see? Yeah, there's not really a scenario I can see where Duran comes back unless he's the DH, like the DH part-time outfielder. And I don't love that. Especially not after the playoffs. So I'm going to proceed as if he's not going to be on the team moving forward. So if that is the case, that's a lot of extra base hits you're losing too. So you got to make up for Duran, Casas, Devers, like a lot of guys you expected in 2025 to be big difference makers are either gone or recovering from injury or probably gone in 2026.
Yeah, I think the whole thing with Tucker is like on paper, the moves you would make to make room for Tucker and then bringing in Tucker. On paper, sure, you're a better team. This whole year was all about building this whole dynamic, building this culture. The clubhouse loved each other. They all got along, all this stuff. To then just kind of flip that on its head by moving not only Duran, but the other pieces that you would have to move to bring in a Kyle Tucker. It just feels so ass backwards to me. Why would you establish this winning culture? You're, to me, one piece away. You need Thump. You need a first baseman or a DH. To then just completely do the opposite and kind of flip the roster top to bottom to accommodate one new addition. Like I said, on paper, I get the idea. I get why you would do it. You're better on paper. Year carryover. So 25 to 26 doesn't compute in my head. I don't know why you would make all of these moves to accommodate one player when the simple answer is right in front of you. It's Schwarber. It's Alonso. Get one of them.
Strong agree, Pat. Strong agree. In fact, if I were looking at the Red Sox, the part of the team I feel most confident in is the outfield. I really don't want to touch it much at all. Like, I like Roman in left, Sadon in center, Willier in right. That's elite defense. Left to right. That's awesome. And then two out of those three guys, you feel really good about their offense. And then Sadon, super inconsistent offensively in 2025, but overall an improvement and the huge moments too. At least you got the clutch factor with him.
The other thing too, really quick, is it sucks to say this because this is not how it should be, but it's a matter of fact, this is how it is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
If you go do accommodate Kyle Tucker, you do go out and you pay Kyle Tucker that between $400 and $500 million that he's projected to get. With FSG, this takes you out of some of the bigger fish coming up in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
In the bigger fish that honestly fit the team much, much better than Kyle Tucker does right now. If you're going to take a big swing in your, and they should be swinging big. There's better roster fits now and in coming years than Kyle Tucker to me.
And here's another sort of maybe issue with it. In addition to that, Pat, is if you trade two outfielders, let's say they trade Duran and Abreu for the purpose of fitting Kyle Tucker in. So Tucker's your left field, Sadon's your center field, Roman's your right field. You still have the same hole or not hole, depending. I mean, I know Masahiro Yoshida had a great finish to the season. You know, he was probably their best hitter in the playoffs, him and Trevor Story. Make the argument for however you want. I know it's only three games, but it's a fact. He still, for the better part of 2 years, has not been anything close to what you signed him to be. And if you enter the next season with him as your DH, you open yourself up to the possibility that you're stuck with the same production that you've gotten for the majority of the last couple of seasons. And doing it, and don't get me wrong, if the Red Sox got Kyle Tucker, I would be over the moon excited. That would be an enormous move, like the biggest addition.
Y'all would.
Yeah, yeah. We would freak the hell out. But people comparing it to Soto, because I've seen some people who say, hey, they went after Soto, so why will they, like, tell me why they wouldn't go after Tucker. I'll give you two pretty obvious reasons why these are two completely different situations. First, one of them, Juan Soto, just made the World Series with the Yankees, won the World Series with the Nationals year after year, an absolute stud, a marketing machine, and a multicultural marketing machine for both the U.S. and the Dominican Republic, reestablished that sort of Dominican the bond that the Red Sox have with the Dominican Republic, having Juan Soto and Rafael Devers. That would have accomplished that. The second thing that people don't talk about enough, because yes, Kyle Tucker on the surface is pretty much as good as Juan Soto. Maybe not this year because he played hurt, but most years he is as good. He's 3 years older now as a free agent than Juan Soto was last year. that is the obvious reason why it's completely different. And again, I say it, the Red Sox want to go that route and spend all that money and get that dude. Not going to stand in the way of that. I'm just saying, like, I feel like the simpler move is to get the dude that hit 56 home runs, and you just got to outbid Big Balls Dave Dombrowski. Easier said than done, but maybe a little bit easier than coughing up $450 million or whatever you're going to have to give to get Kyle Tucker, and then trading the two outfielders to make it all work. Might be a little bit easier to just pry one of those big bats.
Further on Tucker, he's had his injury issues throughout his career. I think it was a wrist thing he had to play through with the Cubs this year, and then he's had other stuff, kind of a variety of little nagging things, which I don't love. I think those add up. I also want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, Gordo. We mentioned Yoshida, and I know there are still some Red Sox fans who like Yoshida. And again, I'll maintain the same thing I've been saying since we started this show. I don't think he's a bad hitter. He's an okay hitter, but you need more than that from your DH spot. And he's been with the Red Sox for 3 years now, and he has accumulated 3 BWAR. That is not enough from your DH. So, anyone who's listened to this show,
yeah, they at know. All, they know. We
I am
know.
Out. I am out on Yoshida. And again, it's not because he's bad. He's just not a good fit, and he doesn't do enough. And I'm so sick of talking about this because he seems like a great guy. He seems like a cool dude. He's funny. He's funny on social media. Not 100% sure it's intentional, but I'll say it is.
I don't think it's intentional.
I'm going to give him credit. So. I think he knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. He also has great complexion, great teeth.
Great teeth.
The weirdest shape I've ever seen. Oh, no. Alejandro Kirk, the fire hydrant body. But you get the point. It's just not a fit, and it's time to move on from Yoshida. And I wish him well wherever he goes.
Yeah, my thing with Yoshida is he would be the perfect player for this team if he had like a super utility role. Like if he could play multiple positions, at least average. He's horrific in the outfield. He hits for average. He's not hit for power. The strikeout numbers are up a little bit this year. Like there are teams out there that could use that. Like there are teams that
he's hurt a lot too.
Yeah. Like there are teams out there that need a ball and play guy. It sucks because right now the Sox aren't that. There's always a spot for somebody who's contact first. Like putting the ball in play is a marketable trait. It is something that every team needs. And with a swing and miss on this team, absolutely, like there's a spot for it. It just sucks that it's the DH spot. And with how this team,
it's not the DH spot. That is not the place for the contact first hit 10 to 12 home runs.
And especially with a team like this that is so desperate for pop, you can't afford Yoshida. You can't. You cannot afford Yoshida in the DH spot.
Can I tell you who I've really loved watching this whole postseason, and I would love a lineup with 8 of these guys and Sedan? The at-bats that Alejandro Kirk has, he is such a nightmare for pitchers. He's not a 40 home run guy. He's not a huge power guy. And I agree, Gordo, I know you love the home runs. I think the Red Sox need home runs too. But if you have a bunch of Alejandro Kirks who have 8 pitch at bats and just torture the pitcher and hit doubles and hit the occasional home run where they have like 25, 30 on the season, I have just been enamored watching that guy. And I know people make fun of him, like the body, he's 5'8", 230 or whatever.
You just
he's
the slow. You said he was.
Well, no,
a fridge.
I compliment. No, fire hydrant, dude.
He's a fire hydrant.
But that guy, every time, every at bat he has, even if he doesn't get on base, something positive happens. He moves a guy over. He makes the pitcher work 8, 9, 10 pitches. That's what I want. I want a bunch of guys who have Alejandro Kirk-esque at bats, and I'd also like some home runs.
Yeah. See, the thing is, the Red Sox have a few guys. I'll say 2 guys that put together the at-bats that you just described, and it's the guys they had hitting 1 and 2 in the order this year. So I guess they only have 1 because Alex Bregman's not on the team anymore as of 5 days after the World Series. But if Bregman's back, they've got 2 of those guys. Alejandro Kirk's at-bats work because you've got – I mean, people sleep on how many home runs Dalton Varsho hit for them in as little a time as he did, and then they've got Vlad. Like, the truth is every lineup needs balance.
Bichette was a monster this season. Like there's guys in the lineup who can afford guys like Alejandro Kirk to have, because pitchers have to attack him. if you can put together quality at bat, you're in a phenomenal spot.
Someone say Bo Bichette.
Yeah. Hey, he's a free agent in a few days.
I'm going to stand on that hill, just so you know, boys. I'm going to still be on that hill.
Joe, your thing all year, all off season. I don't care what your actual opinions are. That's your opinion for the whole off season until he signs elsewhere. Your solution to make the Red Sox World Series champs in 2026 is Bo Bichette, and it doesn't matter if they lose Bregman to do it. It's Bo Bichette.
Yeah, pretty much. Thanks for previewing the whole off season for me, Gordo.
There you go. I've spoiled it. Sorry, people.
Anyway, the point I was getting at is, I think the Dodgers are going to win the World Series, but I love this Blue Jays lineup. I know Vlad right now is on a power tear and he's had his 40 home run season, but he's really, most of his seasons, he's like a 25 to 35 home run guy. And then they have Barger, who's a 20 home run guy, Kirk, who hit another 15, Varsho, who you mentioned, another 20 home runs, Bo Bichette, who's got that kind of pop. I'm forgetting someone. Springer! George Springer.
Who's how did we hurt. Not bring him so, up? He had an incredible season.
But that's what I like. And Gordo, I'm not saying you're not saying that, but when people talk about, you know, they need to get Schwarber, they're a Schwarber away. Like, I just want that long lineup where there are no breaks. If you don't like Sedan, you could call him the break in the lineup. But that's what I'm looking for.
I think they, when healthy, I think they have that. Like, I think at points this year, even post-Devers trade, there were points in time, mainly when Sedan was hitting, where you look up and down the lineup and it's like, wow, everyone in this lineup can kind of hit. And then the only dude you could point to and be like, was Abraham Toro. And then you'd look a little bit deeper and you would notice that, oh, wait, he was hitting, but he started to cool down. Yeah. But everyone else in the lineup was hitting. You just got to build your lineup so that Sedan and Narvaez don't have to hit for you to succeed.
Right. Those are your defensive stalwarts. By the way, I mentioned Vlad. This is interesting. So in...
should have been a solid.
2021, he hit 48 home runs. What do you guys think is his second most home runs in a season?
He can't have topped 40 again. I don't think he has.
I think it's like 32.
32. Next year, 2022, he hit 32. Is that bizarre? I feel in my head, he's like a 40 home run every year guy, but he's literally not.
Yeah. This should have been the offseason of me on my hands and knees pleading for Vlad. That's what it should have been.
Hurt a little bit, like when I
he'd have been perfect.
I thought that's what we were going to be doing. Remember, we were like, is it worth giving up on Casas for Vlad? And I'm like, God damn it! Fuck.
I wish we had that opportunity because
perfect fit. Way bit. Look, I love. Like Alonso, Schwarber, both awesome. Not even close. Give me Vlad all day.
Okay.
Aura too.
Here's a question for you guys. And I'm curious to hear Pat's answer, and I'm curious for Pat to hear my answer to this. Save for, we'll say, Kyle Tucker, Kyle Schwarber, Pete Alonso. If you had to pick a free agent bat for the Red Sox to sign.
Dude.
Okay, Pat, you go for who is it?
Let's Josh Naylor. It's Josh Naylor.
Ooh, okay. Make your argument from Naylor.
I think Naylor's bat-to-ball skills play, sneaky 30 bags this year. The pop is kind of scary when it's translated to Fenway, but the pop's good enough where I think the extra base hits kind of rack up. If you're not going to be able to get a big thumper like a Schwarber or an Alonso, I would much prefer a guy who can rack up double, steal some bags, play solid defense. Strikeout numbers, I believe they were pretty good. He's just a total ball player, man, and he's not going to break the bank. I know who you're going to say.
Hold on, Pat. Projected 4 for 90 for Josh Naylor from Jim Bowden.
Steal. 4 for 22.5 is a phenomenal deal. And I think he's only 29.
Good math in your head there.
He also great clubhouse guy. Pat, you mentioned it. The Fenway, the way that Naylor hits his fly balls, he pulls
I was trying to find his fly balls.
It's scary. It's the opposite of like a righty. We're like, great swing for Fenway.
Would have had 10 home runs if he played his whole season at Fenway last year.
Yeah,
I think it's 9 if you take out the postseason too.
I believe Sammy's right.
Yeah, and he hit 20 this year. Yeah, he hit 20.
By the way, second slowest runner in Major League Baseball, only faster than Kirk. Third time I've mentioned him. But 30 stolen bags. Just a very, very interesting person and player. Also has like 95 different pairs of cleats and batting gloves and belts. It's every game he has a different one, and they're all like bedazzled and stuff. Cool guy.
Cool guy. But yeah, my thing, and I wouldn't, like, I'd like Josh Naylor, he'd help the team, but the reason I like other guys better, he had a 31 home run season in his career. His career best outside of that is 20. I'm gonna be hung up on the home runs thing all off season. I need a guy who I know will get me 30.
Well, Gordo, question for you, because we spoke about this off air. Why do you not like, there's two guys coming out of Japan this year. One is Murakami, and he's getting all the shine because he's got those gaudy numbers in Japan. I think that kid is going to be an absolute disaster. His strikeout numbers are Bobby Dalbec-esque. We don't need to talk about him. The other guy has one of the coolest names I've ever heard, Kazuma Okamoto, and he seems like Seiya Suzuki kind of profile for a hitter, not defensively, but that's a guy that I'd be at least a little bit interested in as a backup plan. He's not my first or second, or maybe not even my third choice for first base / DH. But that, like, nobody lifts the ball more in Japan than him. He's been a home run guy there. He doesn't K. He has great at bats. That's like a 25, 30 home run guy with a lot of doubles mixed in there as well, who I haven't done a ton of research on this, apparently has a decent glove as well. He's a guy that's interesting.
Think it's like would be below average at third and average to a little bit above average at first.
I'm just talking first base. First base, and then he can moonlight in left field when he needs to. But yeah, I'm just talking, no interest in him as a third baseman, to be clear.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not like full blown against the guy, but looking at the scouting reports, it's like he seems like he's a complete hitter, and he's not going to strike out a ton. And that's great. And he is going to hit the ball out of the ballpark to an extent. But I mean, I feel like I'm going to end up being a broken record by the end of the offseason. But I need a guy that I know is going to hit me 30 plus home runs. And the scouting reports on this guy are, he's hit the ball out of the ballpark in Japan, but he kind of projects more as a 20 to 25 home run guy in the major leagues, at least right away. 29 years old. So it's not like he's like Murakami is I believe 26. So it's like you could reasonably hope that there's some room to grow there. I'm not going to beg for Murakami or anything, but I think a lot of people are being a little bit too quick to write him off. Mm-hmm. But I'm not seeing the contract projection for him, $160 million for Murakami. I believe it was $90 for Okamoto. $160 for Murakami with the question marks there feels steep. But because I know he would hit me 30 home runs, I'm not willing to write him off. A lot of people writing
Murakami.
Murakami.
Oh, I'm entirely writing him off. The strikeout rate, like in Japan, they're so contact oriented, and the pitching is just—it's not at the same level as the big leagues, which is why their pitchers leave to come to the U.S. when they are at that level. And if you're striking out that much, like it's a pretty basic analysis I'm giving here, but I think he would need a couple years to not be like Joey Gallo or Bobby Dalbec, where you're. Home runs and strikeouts are fine if you're like Mike Napoli and you're not doing it all the time and you have big moments and you're hitting a lot of home runs. But if you're like Joey Gallo and you're hitting 175, I just can't live with that.
That would be a disaster, Pat.
And that's what I think he'll be for 2 years at least. And this is a win now team.
I don't know if this was already said, but his struggles against velo are so, so well documented. He, in 2024, so this is from 24, this is not updated, but strikeout is just insane. He hit 154 against fastballs over 93.
That's 93?
Over 93. That's the average fastball.
93 has been the borderline.
The other thing, too, and this is from his 24 season, fastballs over 93, he hit 190 with one home run. So... with the velo in the MLB compared to the MPB, I mean, that is an incredible adjustment. That's different pitching. it'd be one thing if he couldn't hit a curveball or a slider or a split just because there's so fewer splits over here. But hitting velo, like, that's, you have to hit velo. If you can't hit a fastball in the majors and you're constantly hunting a fastball, yo, you're fucked, dude. That's concerning.
If the Red Sox or any team look at his swing, look at how he approaches his at-bats and don't think he can hit a fastball over 93 miles an hour, steer all the way away. But it is worth noting that he doesn't see many fastballs faster than 93, 94, 95, 96 there. Like, he's not seeing constant 98, 9900 like you would here. So I don't want to write him off on being able to hit something that he hasn't seen before. It's the same thing. It's like these kids in the minor leagues, it's a steady progression. Sammy?
And on the same page, just in the interest of being fair, Okamoto gets a ton of credit for hitting velocity well. He also has not seen a ton of high-level velocity, so take that with a grain of salt on the flip side as well.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, with anyone coming over, you just don't know exactly how they're going to hit big league pitching, and so much of it is projection and, oh, when we get him with our staff, what can he be? It's less about what has he been. It's more about what can he be. And I mean, I haven't seen enough of either of these guys to throw my hat in the ring and put myself on the soapbox for them. But to me, the reason I'm more pro Murakami is just because even if he's hitting 200 or whatever, I know he's going to hit 30 home runs. So he's not my guy. He's not the dude who, outside of Alonso and Schwarber, I would pursue.
Okay, can I ask you about one, Goro? Because
please,
based on what you're saying, Gino Suarez. I know Pat doesn't like him. We spoke about that in the last episode. I get it. He strikes out a ton, but he had 49 home runs in 2025 for the second time in his career that he's hit 49. What do you think about him?
That's the guy.
That's your guy?
That's my guy. That. I don't
good vibes
I,
guy.
And I'll give you my reasoning. I think he can play first base. We haven't really seen it. I think the Diamondbacks stuck him there in one game. But he can fill in a pinch at third base too. More than a pinch. He could fill in plenty at third base. He could DH. He is going to hit 30-plus home runs. And he's not going to command a long-term deal. He struggled a little bit in Seattle. 682 OPS after the trade. Not the first time a guy has struggled in Seattle. I think entering his age 34 season, you could see this guy get maybe a hefty two-year deal. Maybe a slightly more reasonable AAV three-year deal. Like, that, sign me up for that. A guy who, at a reasonable price, who I know is going to hit me 30 home runs. He's not going to be the centerpiece of your lineup. He's not plan A or B, but he can hit you 30-plus home runs.
You know what? Him and Okamoto, if you had one, well, do they have room for both? One's DH, one's first base. Just thinking, like, because Suarez strikes out. Like, he, let me pull up his strikeout numbers.
Sammy, a lot. If you want both, I feel like you're losing Bregman. I feel like that's how you'd fit both.
Yeah, then I'm entirely out. Yeah, Gino struck out. Ooh. 196 times.
Dude, like that, you're adding that to a lineup that has a massive strikeout problem. That you just cannot do that.
Do they
have a strikeout problem if everyone's healthy though?
They strike out a lot, but to the Red Sox were a more productive team this year when they were striking out more. When they struck out less down the stretch and were hitting fewer home runs, they were a worse offense.
I mean, Yankees had the third most. Tigers, Mariners, Red Sox, some good teams that strike out, but you don't want strikeouts.
Third percentile expected batting average, fourth percentile whiff rate, fifth percentile K rate, 34% walk rate. That is putrid. I don't give a he could hit 72 home runs.
If he hits 72 home runs, you're doing cartwheels. I don't give a shit if you're negative 50th percentile in that shit.
Well, that'd be really disappointing if he hit 72, like one short of the record. Like, that would don't sign him. 72? Need 73. Or don't hit 70.
That's bad, dude.
If he, so like when he was on the Mariners, he hit sixth for them. That's when you kind of like Suarez. And if he were on the Red Sox, what would he be hitting? Fourth
or fifth? It's not what you want the centerpiece of your lineup to be. I'm not saying I hate it.
I just
strike out on Tucker, you strike out on Schwarber, you strike out on Alonso, and the trade market's not materializing, and you need to find a way to add home run power to the lineup. That's how you do it. Pat?
Him or Okamoto, if you had to pick. Sorry,
Suarez. Suarez. Easily Suarez.
Wow, okay.
Just to put it to reference, how abysmal Eugenio Suarez is getting on base if it's not a home run. Kyle Schwarber hit 7 more home runs. His OPS was 104 points higher.
And that's why Kyle Schwarber is going to make like $150 million and Eugenio Suarez might make 50 or 60.
I can't even wrap my brain around how that's mathematically possible.
I mean, he is what he is. Like, I don't want Eugenio Suarez to be like, oh, they're going to sign Suarez and for the next 2 or 3 years, he's your cleanup hitter. No, he's your avenue to guarantee yourself power. And you hope that, you know, Roman Anthony turns into a 30 home run guy. Tristan Casas comes back healthy and becomes that. And you're not relying on it. And if you are relying on it, you're going to have to trade for it. You're going to have to trade for an upgrade.
I have a Schwarber's Baseball Savant page up. And this is the first time I've looked at it since, I don't know, probably early fall. Holy shit, dude. 98th percentile or above in expected weighted on base, expected slugging, average velo, barrel percent, hard hit percent, bat speed, chase rate, and walk. That is nuts.
Oh, Pat, it is not even remotely close how much more I would rather have Schwarber than Suarez. Which leads me to my final question, because we got to get to enough said in a sec. Pick a free agent. If you could have your ideal bat, which one is it?
Oh, Schwarber. Easy. No brainer. Schwarber.
Okay, we're all on the same page. It's easily Schwarber. And good to hear that the Red Sox still love the guy and are probably going to pursue him. And I still have my doubts that the Phillies will allow anyone to outbid them. And I think he's had a great time in Philadelphia. So if they match an offer, he's just going to stay. So I'm not going to get my hopes up that they're actually going to get the guy. But I think it's great that that's where they're sniffing around. Like, that's the type of guy they should be sniffing around. And, you know, we know he can succeed here. He has succeeded here. He's a great leader, great player, perfect fit. I wish he were playing for anyone else besides the Phillies, because then they'd have a much better chance.
Just a little bit of hope. The Bryce Harper trade rumors.
We're going to have to get into that in the next show.
We'll get into it deeper, but that just makes me think, like, I'm with you. I think the chances of them getting Kyle Schwarber are very low. But if the Phillies are talking about trading Bryce Harper, it might not be the same. It might be like the 2019 Red Sox, where it was like, great job, Dombrowski. Like, you've done great. You've had all these good teams. But this is a lot of money. We're hemorrhaging funds here. You never know.
Never know. But to me, if they trade Bryce Harper, it just frees up. I know the situation may not be as ideal, but it frees up even more dollars to just blow Schwarber's socks off.
But if you're trading Harper, then why are you even trying to contend? It's like your middle of the order bat. It's just a strange. I mean, you're right. You're technically right, Gordo, but it would be a really weird way to operate. Very unlike Dombrowski.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be, at least name wise, worse next year. They have to be. Like, they can't keep all their free agents and not trade guys. So, like,
Wheeler's
these are going to be
gone.
Weird.
Wheeler's out.
No, he'll be there.
Okay. Never mind.
The thoracic outlet thing.
Yeah. The other thing, too, with the Phillies, it just feels like they've run it back so many times that they need some form of a shift in identity. I don't think they are pointing the finger at Schwarber in that regard, but they're going to have to kind of reshuffle that deck a little bit. They're interesting because, like, on paper, yeah, like, they have the funds and they have no reason not to bring back Schwarber. They have Harper. Why would they ever trade Harper? But they've guys like Suarez out there. That bullpen is ass, man. That bullpen sucks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah, they have Bohm and Stott, who are like fine, kind of performing. So I'll be curious to see what they do in that regard. If they let Schwarber go, if they end up trading Harper, like there's a lot that could unfold in Philly, and that's maybe why I have a glimmer of hope about Schwarber.
Maybe trade for Duran.
Like if they go and get, supposedly they're in on Kyle Tucker. If they go on Kyle Tucker, there's no shot in hell Schwarber's going back.
No, no chance.
Mm. Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, Tucker, go to the Phillies, please.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
All right, let's get to enough said before we get out of here. I can go first on this one. I just want to shout out Aroldis Chapman for the quote of all quotes. Awesome quote. He was asked if he would ever consider playing for the Yankees again. He said, "No way, not even dead. If I were told that I was being traded to New York, I'd pack my things and go home. I'll retire on this right on the spot if that happens. I'm not crazy. Never again." And then he said, "I dealt with a lot of disrespect there." So just shout out to Chapman. Further adding fuel to the rivalry, always down for Sox players to talk shit about the Yankees, about the organization, anything regarding the Yankees, just talk that shit, ignite the rivalry. It's one thing, like the fans are always going to hate the other team and each other, but the rivalry is at its best when the players are fueling it. And the fact that we had Dobbins say he would sooner retire than play for the Yankees, we had Chapman said he'd sooner die than play for the Yankees, and we have Cam Schlittler doing all the shit, all the schlit that he's been doing, like three dudes fueling the rivalry. I'm excited. You know, these two teams being good at the same time and the players talking shit, could be a good year in 2026 for the rivalry. I'm excited.
Oh dude, Cam Schlittler's first game at Fenway is going to be, it's going to be a movie. It's going to be great. But yeah, I thought that Chapman quote was great. Yankees fans handling it like a bunch of buffoons as always. Like they love when Cam Schitter talks his schlit, but they don't love when Chapman dishes it back. Hey, you can, I mean, I'm fine with the Schlittler thing. Keep
that was
going.
Clever. That was very clever, yeah. Sammy. Cam Schitter talking his schlit.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. I'm a wordsmith. Okay, I'll go. Question for you guys. I'll tell you my opinion right off the bat. I think it's really weird for Red Sox fans to be like, "Hey, F the Blue Jays, man. They're a division rival. I hate them." Like, come on. Who hates the Blue Jays? Like, they're a division rival. When I'm at Fenway and the Blue Jays are in town, by far the nicest visiting fans I've ever encountered. They're super cool. They haven't won since 1993. Who hates the Blue Jays? Like, I don't know. What do you guys think? Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't hate the Blue Jays, but sneaky, sneaky, I am rooting for the Dodgers to win.
What?
Why?
That's like rooting for a corporate pizza party.
I don't want to root for a division rival, and I think having a villain in the game, even though everyone's like, oh, if the Dodgers win the World Series, guaranteed lockout, I promise you it does not have any impact who wins the World Series. See, I think having a villain in the sport is a good thing. It's good for the game.
But the Blue Jays are never going to be a villain. They're like a sad sad story.
The Dodgers are the villain. If they keep winning, they keep winning, the more villainized they will be. It's good for the
game. Are they really a villain? Because like all their guys are super likable. Like Shohei, very likable. Mookie, very likable. Freddie, they're weird. But
it's like the logo. It's the team. It's the logo. It's the front office. It's ownership.
The fans.
And like the fans that like kind of care but don't really care. Like
yes, okay, I'm with you. You've convinced me. But also, if the Blue Jays win the World Series and the World Series champion is in your division, maybe that lights a fire under John Henry's elderly ass.
Or maybe it gets free agents to sign with the Blue Jays. Pat.
My thing is, the Blue Jays to me just feel so much like that 2015 Royals team. Like, they're a good team.
Oh.
Whether they can sustain it, I don't know. But, like they're a great team. They play great postseason baseball. People forget how good that Royals team was defensively. That's what the Blue Jays are. Like, they do not make mistakes. They do not give games away. It reminds me a lot in that regard. So, I don't really give a shit if the Blue Jays win this, because I don't see them being able to stay in this year after year. I just don't.
The Blue Jays were assembled with money and free agency. The Royals were assembled with homegrown studs and savvy trades. Like roster, I understand. Yeah, like a good trade. Johnny Cueto, dude was a horse for them.
Johnny Gomes.
True. Royals.
Ben Zobrist.
I can't believe you're rooting for the friggin' Dodgers,
it's
Gordo.
It's slight. It's very slight. I don't want to root for either of them. I don't want to root for the Dodgers.
You guys make it to the end of the game last night? I did not. I didn't.
I made it to the end of the game, and I got to sleep at 3, and I had a 7 a.m. alarm to do Nessun. So I did 4 hours of sleep.
Really quick. I'm sorry to double up. That was not an all-time great World Series game last night. That sucked. That was way too fucking long.
Okay.
I wanted it to end so much earlier. That was not great. Everyone was like,
everything. Clayton Kershaw in extra innings for potentially the last
deep just ended.
Gave the game over and over again. A walk-off home run in the 18th inning. I agree. I wanted
nobody watching when the walk-off happened. If it all happened in 9 innings, it would be an all-time great game. Everyone's like trying to convince themselves, this is great. Like, dude, it's been going on for 7 hours. I'm fucking sick of it. So no socks.
All right, Pat, you got enough stuff before we get out of here?
Yeah, I do. The Celtics suck ass, and I'm happy about it. Not because I don't like the Celtics, but there's a real, real possibility that this is like when the Spurs were super hurt, sucked in the 90s, got a super high pick, got Tim Duncan, and just became like this unbelievable dynasty. Dude, bring AJ DeBanza home. Bring him home.
Or it could be like the Warriors and you get James Wiseman.
No, that would suck. But like AJ... Oh, dude, AJ DiBanza, local kid, grew up the town next to me, huge Celtics fan. Like, of all the drafts, like, there's like 3 guys who, like,
Boozer,
a healthy Tatum, Boozer, yeah, the kid at Kansas. There is very real possibility. Hopefully, we get some Mavericks treatment. Hopefully, they just rig that shit so we get the one pick. But, if there's a year. Yeah,
they owe us for forcing us to tear apart our team with this dog shit CBA.
Yep. If they can get a top 3 pick in this year, this is the year to suck of all years to suck.
It's a good draft.
You get this, and you have like AJ DeBanza, JT Brown, Pritchard, White. Like, you have a legit dynasty.
Or sneak into the playoffs, Tatum comes back healthy, win the title. It's this incredible story. Celtics come out of nowhere. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm gonna keep rooting for them to win, but I don't watching this team.
I'm not gonna lie. I have not watched 1 second of the Celtics this year.
Like, it's worse than the scoreboard would make it seem. It looks bad.
Hugo Gonzalez. Yeah.
Real quick. It is so the opposite of the Bruins. The Bruins just suck, and they should suck. It's gonna be a long, like 3 to 5 years. The Bruins, Celtics. Like, this is, you're just capitalizing on a down year. Like, you set yourself up here. Bruins, they're gonna be so ass for the next like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Well, they just scored, as you were saying that.
So what are they down? 3-1? 2-1?
2-1. 2-1.
Yeah.
Lindholm there you go. Scored. All right, that's going to do it for the best goddamn Bruins podcast on the face of the earth, Play Tessie, episode 226. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel, 276. Did I say 275? I say 275?
Oh.
I said 226.
Mid-season form. Oh, Gordo,
226! No! Oh. Subscribe on WEI's YouTube channel. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We're hoping to have a guest for Friday's episode drop, so we're really excited. We'll keep the name close to the vest until that day, but we're really excited about it, and we'll see you guys then. But subscribe, get that notification when it comes out, and happy to have PT back. So thanks for tuning in, guys. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.